not even what anybody's praying. Just have mercy on us. We all come to you for mercy right now because Jesus made an end to all of our sin. Thank you so much, God, that we can come to you anytime. And we know you hear us. It's just that you hear us the way you're going to answer, not the way we think it should be done. Help us to submit to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me just read this. This is E.M. Bounds' book on the power of prayer. And he says, the act of praying, this is called, this guy, I don't even know who he is, but there's a lot of godly men in the Christian church. Samuel Taylor Coleridge. The act of praying is the very highest energy of which the human mind is capable. You hear that? The act of praying is the very highest energy of which the human mind is capable. Praying, that is, with the total concentration of the faculties. The great mass of worldly men and of religious people are absolutely incapable of prayer of this magnitude. Then he says this one guy, Marcus Durentia, I don't even know him, but to whom Christ was most precious, ordered his servant to call him from his devotions at the end of a half an hour. The servant at the time saw his face through an opening in a hole. It was marked with such holiness that he hated to arouse him. His lips were moving, but he was perfectly silent. He waited until 3.5 hours had passed. Then he called to him when he arose from his knees, saying that that half hour was so short when he was communing with God. These are the type of people in church history we have. People that God got a hold of their hearts. I believe that this can happen to us in this church if the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us. Prayer is not part of our life. And we just sort of like tack it on because it gets so busy. Prayer is our life. When you're a believer, he's planned you to, he'll make you a person to pray, or he'll discipline you into it. He'll make you pray. Because prayer is faith. And so I just want you to understand, this is not a message to beat you up. I'm in grade 2 maybe with this thing on prayer. But my first point, Psalm 42:8. Before I go into my first point. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. And this hit me, a prayer to the God of my life. My whole life is like a prayer. My whole life is like a prayer. So, here we go. First point, God creates circumstances that put us into a place of prayer. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1 and 2, this is what it says. I'm preaching Luke 18, 1 to 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So this is the whole meaning behind this parable. Always pray, not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. When, listen to this, and I don't know if you can attest to this, but this is what happens to me. When prayer in our lives becomes less and less, then we begin to move into a place of giving up. Let me repeat it. When prayer in our lives becomes less and less, and activities and family stuff and all that stuff, which is good, but prayer is the best. It's not good, it's the best. And what you have to do is that this is very, very important. The minute that you begin praying less and less, you know you're beginning to give up. Are you hearing me? Even if you don't say you're giving up, you're beginning to give up. And so, but God doesn't stop. If you're a believer like me, this is what he does to me. And then as his children, God puts people who don't fear him, or care about anyone in their past. He puts people, hear me now, whether it's at your workplace, whether it's at your school, whether it's in the church for me, whether it's at home, he'll start putting people in our path that don't fear God and don't care about anyone else. Why? To make us pray. To turn our hearts to him. And he'll do it any way he can so that you stop looking at yourself or your problem and start turning to him. I'm not joking. In what I do, many people come to me and they're telling about their problem. And God is, and I just know now that the Lord puts problems, if you're a believer, in your path, so you say, turn to me. And if we keep on ranting and raving, he'll just keep it, make it heavier. Heavier stuff comes down. Heavy. He starts really putting it on. Because his whole purpose is to get us to what? Turn to him. His whole purpose. Now, there is a person, this is a long story, but I wanted to bring it out. Two long stories, and then, but just follow me. There is a person in the Bible that God used, a person, didn't fear God, didn't care about anyone else. Now let me read it to you. How God used this person to bring Elijah to his knees. And we think depression is not right. I'm telling you, depression has a powerful weapon in God's hands if used properly. When God uses it to us, if we really know what it's coming, it's to turn us to him. And it might take years to come out of it. But when you turn to him and you come out of it, what is the purpose of him prolonging it? I'm going to answer that question. There's a reason. God is very, very wise. Let me read this. This is a good story, man. Now Ahab told Jezebel, this is the woman who God put in Elijah's path.
Everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Now, stop. This is how fear grips us. A little woman like Jezebel, I don't even know what she was like, Jezebel. And she says to Elijah, and Elijah just finished conquering 850 prophets of Baal. 850, all of them. The courage. And then you get this right after that, and then you say, what is going on? That little woman can say and threaten Elijah, and Elijah goes, what? Three. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. I'm going to tell you something. There are things in our life, and there are things in Elijah's life that God puts into our life and says, this has already been. This has always been here, Elijah. There are spheres in you that what God does is he puts you in places around people. He brings it out. And you run for your life. Not to God. But you run away from God. Maybe not physically, but on the inside, emotionally, you run like crazy away from God. Who's with me? I have things in my life. Even if you didn't put your hand up for a while. You have things in your life that God is trying to lift out of your life. And he brings people into our life that don't even fear God, don't care about men. They don't care about nothing, just themselves. And he brings those people into your life, and all of a sudden, fear comes up. And you say, that's that person's fault, that's that person. God goes, well, that's not that person's fault. I put that person there so that you can see it's already been there. I got to deal with this. When he came to Beersheba and Judah, he left his servant there. While he was, now listen, now isn't this amazing what he does? See, Elijah knows what he's doing, he's a prophet. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, it was by himself, like he knew, nobody could help him. He came to a broom bush, sat down under, and prayed that he might die. But he still prayed! So God got his attention with this wicked woman. He turned to him and he prayed, even if this, I'm gonna die, but he still prayed. He turned to the Lord. Are you hearing me? So, if you keep going, just keep going. I want to keep reading this to you. Let's see if I'm on the right one. Yes, I've had enough, Lord. I've had enough, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. Now, you catch this? Even as he's praying, we think depression is bad because our emotions are so screwed up. But I'm telling you, it has a powerful way of dealing with us and turning to the Lord. Are anybody with me? Whether we like it or not, it has a way of getting us to turn to the Lord. Okay? Are we okay?
Now, where was I? I've had enough, Lord, he said to me. Oh, yes, that's where I was. The reason why I can say these things is because I've been in depression. I would not be able to say this if I've never been in this stuff. I'd be just jerking you guys around. I've been in this stuff. I've been in it in the first 3 years, wanting to take my life in the first year. And I always thought, God, you hate me, man. You don't like me. And now I'm where I am right now. I wouldn't be able to walk and plant and do all this stuff in ministry of all the attacks and stand. I wouldn't have been able to do it. And now I see the wisdom of it so that Oswald Chambers quote is so perfect that he sends us, and depression comes into our lives. And we think, oh God, what are you doing? What it's doing is it's making you turn to him. That's it. That's the bottom line. That's a simple way of putting at it. You turn to him, not your own understanding, not a human being, not anybody else. You just turn to him. And I'm telling you, when I was depressed, I had nobody helping me. I remember I was with, even Steve was with me, he couldn't help me. Nobody, Harvey Crouch, couldn't help me. Nobody could get into my skin, only Jesus Christ. And I really realized that's real faith. I started saying, that's faith. And depression made it like that, like a furnace, like a crucible. And it put me into this crucible, and I was saying, I want to die. I want to die. Who's ever been in depression? Who's ever said that? Yeah, but that's not wrong. Because that's what Elijah the prophet said. I want to die. I want to die. But God didn't. What God does is you can shout and rant all you want, but God has a purpose in it. And if you watch, this is what he says. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him. See how God is? That's what God did to me in my depression. Every so often, I would be down and out.
Are you following me?
This is not the way God meant it. When he puts you through something, he'll speak to you. He's speaking to you so you reply. Not to go into yourself. Not to go into your depression, but reply to him. Talk to him. So he replies, I have been very zealous. This is the way we all are when we're in our pity party. I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. I've been a saint. I haven't struggled. Even Jeremiah hasn't struggled like me. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Tell me that doesn't sound like self-pity. And it is self-pity when you're in depression. Because you think you're the only one going through it. Then the Lord said, there he is again. And God, he just reaches out. I don't care what anybody tells me about the Lord Jesus Christ. That God is so reaching out all the time. Reaching out, no matter where we go. Just reaching out. Even if we turn away, he reaches out in our depression. In anything you're in. He's done that with me. And he's done that with people who are true Christians. The Lord said, go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord is about to pass by. Then, this is what happens. This is what happens. God, show me a great sign. Help me to get out of this depression. I want to be delivered now. Right now. Now. Then the Lord, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the, wasn't in the wind. What the? What's going on? After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came what? A gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. He got out of the cave, out of his darkness, and he stood at the mouth of the cave. He heard God's voice, and it was like he was being set free. Because when we hear that gentle voice and we take time without ranting and raving and we just calm down and God says, listen, I'm not in the wind. I'm not in the earthquake. I'm not in the fire. I am the Lord. I'm not in it. I'm out of it. I can take you out of anything. But you need to hear my gentle voice. That will take you out of it. Not that. My voice will take you out of it. And that's the way God operates with us. And the only way you can hear a gentle voice truthfully is in prayer. That's the only way any of us can do this, is to hear his gentle voice in prayer. All of us. And if we don't take time, if we don't take time, no matter how you feel or your emotions feel, you need to just take time and say, God, please let me hear your gentle voice. Something happens in your spirit. Is anybody with me? If you've never had an experience, and because we're so revved up in the wind, in the storm, in the earthquake, and we're in the fire, we're so revved up, we can't calm down. And God is asking us, just calm down. I'm not in it. I can speak to you. You can come out of it. Is everybody following me on this one? And this is the way we, when we turn to the Lord, that's what you're looking for, is his gentle whisper. And until you said it right in the prayer meeting. You said it right. When you do, don't demand things from God. But when you just sit there and you wait upon God, no matter what kind of pain you're going through, I guarantee you, he will come to you. Now with all of your trying to tell him what to do in your prayers, just be there and he comes to you. He is like that. That's the way the Lord is. He wants us to just step back and let me do it to you. Let me touch you. That's prayer. That's why prayer is our life. He's trying to move every human being that's a believer into that kind of space. To be praying like breathing. That's what he's trying to do with Elijah. And then he keeps going on. If he keeps, you keep hearing this thing with Elijah, watch how God encourages him. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came, go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. And if you keep going, this is what he says. This is how he gets him out of it. I want you to go down to verse 15. Look what he says. Yet, remember he said, I have no one. There's no one with me, nobody at all. Yet, I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down, to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. See, God wants to move us out of our self-pity. All of us have that. Every one of us have this kind of thing. And God wants to tell you that you're not alone. I have a lot of people with me. I don't know, more than 7,000. A lot of people are suffering now. You're not alone. I think misery likes company. But it's true, God has his servants all over. And they're praying. They're praying. Like us. It's just not us. This is not just that, just about us. It's about the whole kingdom of God wanting to pray. And you know how all of us get on board on this one? When I was sitting here today, I could hear God tell me, the more you pray, the more presence comes in. And you know what? I really believe that with all my heart. Because when we were singing, I could feel God's presence. And he was telling me, this is just a taste of it. Everybody, I'm trying to make them into people who pray. And that's what he was trying to do to Elijah. And he used Jezebel to turn him. Didn't he? Would you say that's true of sovereignty? And he didn't just do it to Elijah with Jezebel. He did it to the early church. If you look at the early church, you'll see that even the religious rulers, he took them and he made the whole Christian church turn to him because of the persecution. It's not wrong. It's not bad when you get persecuted. It just hurts. Painful. But then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes? To listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They did not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what happened. And the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On the release, Peter and John went back to the Roman people and reported all the chief priests and elders at the city. When they heard this, but what did they do? You see this? God heals these people. They're all the people that pray. Anything, if you keep going, it was like when they heard this, they raised their voices together to pray to God. Then they saw the Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything. Spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. But they don't stop there. They use the scriptures to back up what they're doing. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, and then they explain it. They explain Psalm 2. Herod is a king. Pontius Pilate is a ruler. They met together with Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They're praying. This is the prayer of the early church. This is a heavy prayer. I think you don't understand how heavy this prayer is. Look at the way they're praying. They did what your power and will had decided before it could happen. There was no coincidences. There was no accidents. They knew this was all happening from God. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. No, you and I, this is me, really, when I'm going. Now, Lord, consider their threats and take them out. Yeah, that's me. But in the Holy Spirit, it's, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable us to share your word with them. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, what happened? The place where they were meeting was shaking and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is really incredible because when you pray, what the early church is saying is that when you pray like this, you are filled with the Holy Spirit immediately. This is how we pray. This is a perfect example of how we pray. Anything that comes, listen to me carefully. Whenever it comes into your life, I pray that the Holy Spirit takes this, what I'm just going to say. Whatever comes, sickness, whatever comes into your life, it's meant to turn you to the Lord. Doesn't matter what it is. I'm convinced of it at this time of my life. Anything. Even if you're wimping, and you know how you whimper? Oh, God, and you know, I saw my wife have her baby, and it was like 23 hours, and she, and I'm going, boy, I'm so glad I'm not a woman. I'm not joking.
Oh, it's freaking me out, Abel, but the things are going.
And the pain, it's a pain. But still, in that pain, truthfully, you turn to Him no matter how you feel. Because that's why God orchestrated anything in your life, whatever is in your way, it's to turn to the Lord. He put it there. He's sovereign. And if you take His sovereignty away, you're praying to a puppet. Are you hearing what I just said? I didn't even have that in my notes. When you take God's sovereignty away, you are praying to a puppet. God is in command. I want a God like that, like the early church did. I want a God where I pray and You do everything, Lord. Everything that comes into my life, You put it so I can turn to You, Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because if you get that strong in your heart, you will be able to turn no matter how much pain is in your life around you. Because He's the only place to get refuge. Nobody else can do that. Amen? Nobody else can help you. I'm saying it as a preacher. Nobody can help you. Nobody. Only Jesus. And when we get that right, that He is sovereign, and He puts something in our way to turn to Him, because He is the safe place. I'm telling you, I have to preach to myself now, because things will come into my life, and they will come into your life. And the real test is, this is the test. Whatever comes into your life, it'll be a test. Will you turn to Him, or will you turn to whatever you're turning to? And listen, in the Bible it says, whenever we turn away from God, it's evil. Whenever we turn to God, it's good. And that's all. It's simplest. It's simple. But in the time of the fight and the battle, when you're going through something that the person is like, in your workplace, it's like not that easy. Am I right? So you have to prepare yourself right now to say to the Lord, whatever comes into my way in your prayer right now, prepare me to turn to You. God forbid you walk into the doctor's office and he says, you got 6 months to live. You have cancer. You have to prepare yourself that you're going to turn to the Lord no matter what. You will not give up. You will always pray and not give up. That's what Christ said. Because whatever I put in your life is to turn to Me. Turn to Me. That goes for everybody. And nobody is strong. Not even people that I know that are godly. They're not strong when death comes. You need the Lord. You need to turn to Him. Oh Lord, how I need You. How I need You. God, I need You. My one defense. My one righteousness. Oh God, I need You. That doesn't need to just be a song. That needs to be deep in your inner being when things hit you. Oh God, I need You. We need You so bad. This stuff here around me, I'm speaking about this, this is not teaching. This is really practical. Because you do not know when things are going to hit anyone else in this life. That's the truth. And only Him can really keep us standing. You believe me? It's the truth. I'm really coming to grips with this. And listen to this, what I wrote. This is what I said. Anyone or anything that makes us turn to God is a gift from Him. Anyone or anything, if you don't have a relationship, or you don't have anything like that, anything that is deep in your heart, turn to God. Don't turn to yourself. Turn to God. Pain, suffering, just turn to God. It's a gift from God. Anything that makes you, any guilt is a gift from God. It's given to the cross. Second, God created us in circumstances to make us pray. Once we turn to God, now you turn to God. Okay? We must keep coming to Him. I'm telling you, this is a really important principle. Simplistic, but important. Once we turn to Him, look at what Jesus says about this. This is Christ, about people, how they should pray. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to Him, kept coming. There's a kept coming to Him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time He refused. It's amazing that God would put Himself in a parable like an unjust judge. But He's doing it to really drive home a point. This is the way you need to pray. though for some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yeah, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she will eventually come and attack me. Imagine God saying that about this widow. That's the way God wants us to pray. With such a holy urgency, it's not crazy. That you, if he says no to your prayers, that's cool. No problem. But to pray like that to keep. And you know one thing I'm really convinced with? It's not what I get. It's not my answer to prayer. I get God. I keep coming to him for God. As soon as I get this in my mind that I've got to get an answer, then it fizzles out. My coming fizzles out. Are you with me what I'm trying to say? As soon as I'm trying to get with my coming an answer, I stop coming to him because it fizzles out. But when I'm coming to him for God himself, it'll never fizzle out. Are you following what I'm saying? It's a very important principle that you're not coming to God to get something. You're coming to God to get God. And it never fizzles out because you can't get enough of God. If that makes any sense. And it does, because I know it works. As soon as I start, give me a big church or lots of people in the church. And I do as a pastor, oh Lord, bring people, save people, which is nice, that's a good thing, eh? But as soon as it becomes that priority in my life, it fizzles out, I stop coming to God. But the minute I come to God for Jesus Christ and have fellowship with him, that I start praying for people to get saved. And it doesn't fizzle out, it's first. Everybody following me. And it's very subtle the way the devil does this to bring things into our life. Subtle. Very subtle. And the word come, man, it's so unbelievable in the Bible if you look at it. Please look at it. How many times God is telling us to come. Like, come now. Let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like... Whoa, this is all the time. Come, keep coming to me so I can cleanse you. Then look at it again. Come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. People wonder why we're weary. We're saying it in the back of the prayer. It's because we're not coming to him. You can say all you want. If you're coming to him, he gives you rest. Is that true or is that a lie? Is that true or is that a lie? That's true. And there's something that has to straighten out in our hearts. We have to come to him. It's simple. Just come to him. And he says, I'll give you rest. I believe this. I really do. And it's funny, eh? We come to him to forgiveness of sins. We come to him for rest. And then we come to him. The spirit of the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come three times. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. This is what God is begging us to do. Come to him. Come to me. Be filled with the Spirit. Come to me. This is all the time. Even when I'm preaching now. If I'm preaching right now, what you should be doing right now, I know it sounds crazy. God, fill me with the Spirit so I can hear. Fill me with the Spirit so I can hear what's from Miles. And fill me with the Spirit what's from you, Lord. You should be praying. I should be praying. Fill me with the Spirit so you can speak through me. This is something that's so vital, this one coming through. I'm telling you the truth. I'm overwhelmed with it with John Bunyan's book, How to Pray in the Spirit. I'm overwhelmed that I don't even turn to him in prayer. When I'm in the back and we can bow our heads, do you turn to the Holy Spirit to ask him to pray through you? I'm overwhelmed how I grieve him. I'm not just trying to put a heavy guilt trip on you. I'm overwhelmed that he's inside of me and I just, oh, so what? I'll just do my own thing. Are you with me? This is something that God has to give us grace so that we depend on the Spirit. So that we keep coming to him for the Holy Spirit. Come to be filled. Keep coming. Doesn't stop. We'll never, ever be so satisfied when we do have the fullness of the Spirit. I'm not even there yet. I just know it's true. I know it's true. I know it's true. I know I'm going on. I don't know if I'll get there. Maybe not. But I hope I get there before I die. That's what I hope. I really do. That I can read with these men that have read in the Bible, in their biographies, where they Spirit, and they're overflowing. I want that. I want to be able to pray all the time. I want to know that I'm in the Spirit all the time. Now, how about everybody here? Coming to church does not make you anything. It's the Holy Spirit's power that does all this. And now it's not my articulate of how well I can preach or how well you can speak. It's the Holy Spirit has to do this. I'm desperate. I depend on Him. I need Him so bad. And I need to start coming to Him like I've never come to Him before. That's my prayer. You pray for me for that as a pastor. I'll be a good pastor to you. I really will. Truthfully. John Bunyan, I'm reading. I'm going to get the book to you're looking for. I'm going to give this book to everybody in the prayer world. John Bunyan, How to Pray in the Spirit. He was in prison when he wrote this book. He was in prison for pilgrim progress, too. But I didn't know about this book. And I read it. It took me 3 to 4 months to read 80 pages. Going on with it. Seemingly, delays in God are not tokens of His displeasure. He may hide His face from His dearest saints. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding His face from the house of put my trust in Him. He loves to help keep His people in prayer. He loves to find them every knocking that we have. He may be you can reason the Lord is trying, or He loves to hear you grow on a condition before, and so we rest upon you with my needs. God wants to keep His coming. You know why now? Here's my whole message. You know why God has answered our prayers? You know why? God really means He's creating. You didn't see my message. He's creating that in us. He can only do it by you withholding His answers. And as long as He withholds, when we persevere in prayer, it creates character within us. The character of Christ. Is everybody here? This is why He withholds His answers. So that He creates that in us. And that's what Romans says. Romans 3. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character. And hope doesn't disappoint us. It doesn't put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Listen to this. John Bunyan. Alas, how many poor souls, including all of us, are there in the world who, because they are not well informed in the Scriptures, in their understanding, are often willing to give up all for the loss of almost every trick and temptation of Satan. The Lord pity them. The Lord help them to pray with the Spirit and with the Word of God. This has been true to much of my own experiences. When I have been in my fits of agony and ranting of spirit, I have often been strongly persuaded to quit. Who's with me? To ask the Lord no longer to answer my request. But when I have remembered and understood from the Word what great sinners the Lord has had mercy upon, and how large His promises were still to sinners, and that it was not the whole and healthy, but the sick and the sick, not the righteous, but the sinners, not the full, but the empty, that He intended to give His grace and mercy, then I renewed my patience. I persevered in prayer until I received the blessing. Remembering and understanding the teachings of the Scriptures made to me through the assistance of the Holy Spirit to cleave to Him, to come to Him, to hang upon Him, to continue to cry, to go through the present and made no answer, He helped me. May the Lord help all of His poor, tempted, and afflicted people to do the same and to continue, though it be long, according to the saying of the prophet, for the revelation awaits my appointed time. Speaks up again and will not be false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay it. May the Lord help those who pray to the end, not by the inventions of men, and not their sprinted forms, but with the Spirit and the power of the Spirit. This is the only way we never give up, is when we realize that you and I are very weak. Yeah. If the Holy Spirit doesn't do it, we give up. Only He. And we're, you know, kind of funny thing, but listen to this. Truthful. If you give up, where do you go? If you give up, where do you go? You're not bargaining with God.
start to sing. You give up. Where do we go? Truthfully, the only way that we can do all of this together is to persevere in prayer. Last, I don't want to read this one because I just want to move, but maybe, no, I like reading scriptures a lot. I think that's what really touches our heart. Yeah, let's read the scriptures. This is a Genesis 32, 28. This is what I really believe all about. Not coming to God, not giving up. So Jacob was left alone, and the man wrestled him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob so that his hip was ready as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" Jacob answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." And the best way I know is when he said, "I will not let go of you until you bless me." And I think that is keep coming to God until he does that. And I'm not saying that he's going to bless you the way you want it, but he will bless you. We don't want to go. We don't want to go. And Jesus did this, didn't he? Didn't Christ do this? This is the way Jesus lived his life. We really need Jesus. And the news about him spread all the more. And you know, the more popular you get, the less you pray. That's what we'll do. The more popular you get, the less you pray. It's the opposite of Christ. The more popular you got, the more you pray. If the news about him spread all the more so that the crowds can be able to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus, often withdrew to lowly places and prayed. It hits me like a ton. This is the Son of God. Often withdrew to lowly places. I want to be like that. I can't do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do it through me. I want to get at a place where I would rather go away with God than with anybody else. I'm not there yet. Or I'd rather not watch TV and I'd rather be with the Lord. Are you there? I'm not there yet. I'm getting there. I am moving in that direction. And I'm going to tell you, my last point is this. This is what happens when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you. As we keep coming to Him, as you keep coming and tasting and seeing He is good, which He is, we want more of Him. That's what happens in prayer. The more you do it, the more you want God. The less you do it, the less you want God. There's something that happens in prayer that I can't explain. But the more you do it, you just know people who are doing it too. You want more of them. And look at this. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly help them when the Son of Man comes here, when we find faith on the earth. Listen, I just want to say this. When the Holy Spirit really does get a hold of you with this coming, there is a crying out to God day and night. All the time when the Holy Spirit is in charge of your life. You can't stop praying. And it's not a burden, it's a joy, it's a delight. And that is what happens when God really, you do break through into His presence. When you really break through all of us, we have this kind of thing where we want to pray day and night. I've had this. I've honestly had this. And I've lost it. How many people can say they've had this? Honest, don't brag. Yes. I know. And something happens down the line, but something else in my appetite, fleshly, gets involved and takes away that. Anybody with me? And God is telling me now, today, go for the appetite of prayer. Go for my presence. And it will heighten. The more you get, the more you want. The more you get, the more you want. And that's what He's telling me. I don't want to share anymore because you guys, this is not a teaching, truthfully. Prayer is not teaching. Prayer, you have to do it. All my thing is to just push you to pray. Turn to me. What are you trying to do other than God in your life? If you are, you've got to turn to Him and say, God, you need grace. If you are you coming to Him consistently, all the time? And if you are, you're going to really be crying out day and night. And it's going to be fun. I don't know where you are in your prayer life. Truthfully, Everybody's on different stages, and there's no filter. But man, we need to go for the Lord with all of our hearts. Everybody,
I got these prayer requests. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you can even ignore them and go and whatever God's telling you. But I'm telling you, a prayerless life is an awful life. Or even a little bit of prayer is not. Or even just half. But I'm talking about all, my whole life prayer. I don't even know how to get there. So what I'd like you to do is this. Pray for this church to become a praying church. I just need you know what I feel about my message? What do you think this? I feel that my message was not adequate for this subject. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because prayer is so lofty and communion. It's like over the top. I don't even know how to get through it. Is anybody looking at this one? I can't teach. So I'm going to ask you to pray the Holy Spirit in your prayers to teach all of us how to pray. If you could, groups of three and four.